This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We are into the 4 o'clock hour. That means a new key word to text in is coming within the next 30 or 40 minutes. So keep listening. The Brown, the Town, one Steph, one Jimmy, one Dre. And we'll do it both in this 4 o'clock hour, the 5 o'clock hour, and then every hour tomorrow on all three shows. And then the qualifications are all done, and we will hand those three jerseys out. Before we go to the phones and Nick Friedell in about 10 or 12 minutes, a couple text names that came in, Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line that are interesting. 415 says Draymond is one of the most polarizing sports figures in the Bay. That's probably true. And 707 says, how about Brandon Ayuk for being number five?
Yeah.
I'd say he was last summer.
For sure.
Last summer he was.
I think now it's kind of like, it's kind of a wrap. I mean, I don't think that he's going to play for the Niners again, and I don't know how many people are, you know, saying if they had Ayuk this year, they'd be a Super Bowl team.
I've heard zero tears.
Right.
Not a one. Not one person has said, man, they got to get Ayuk back. Nobody has said that, which Brandon should know, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure he does know.
He has, I just think he's cratered his, he's potentially cratered his career. Is my opinion. That's, you know, a different conversation for a different day, probably. Mike in Fremont, thanks for calling Willie and Dibby. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday. I think Kyle's actually grown as a coach this year. Because of all the injuries, it's made him have to be more creative and, like you said, more schemey, as opposed to, like, oh, no, I have to do it a certain way because I have all these superstars and that's what we do. And sometimes, you know, his decision-making was so rigid and he just have to stick with it. Now it just seems like it free-flows a little bit more. And from game to game, it could be a passing game. It could be a running game. It's going to be a defensive game. I think he's actually grown more. And because he's grown more, he's an actually better coach than he has been, even in some of those Super Bowl years.
Yeah, Mike, that's an interesting take. I mean, I guess in all forms of life, when a bunch of adversity is thrown at you, you're forced to open up a little bit and do things a different way. I can't really speak to how different Kyle has been. It's just been that he's been able to be successful so far this year with a bunch of different scenarios. Like the whole rigidity idea, I think Kyle is pretty damn rigid all the time. I think that he's scheming all night, every day, game week, like all the time. I just think that's the way he's wired. But this season has called for a bunch of different things. You know, from different quarterbacks, we got Kittle, we don't have Kittle, whatever, and he's made a bunch of different things work. So that's a fair way to kind of compliment it.
I guess, but I think about this year, and for me, it's not disrespect to Kyle, but it's less about Kyle, and it's more about the entire staff, because Brant Boyer, special teams, they've gone from worst to not first, but the special teams is now a plus unit across the board, and you brought back Robert Saleh, and he's been able to make a defense without his two best players be good. Not great, but good enough. And I look at all the other position coaches, and we talked to John Feliciano about that, and you know Chris Foerster and the O-line, and you've got the D-line with Kaserik, and you've got all these other coaches. I do believe that his staff is also having an amazing year. But to your point, you've had to win games this year in many different ways where, okay, Mac Jones, not as mobile. What are we going to do? And no Kittle. All right, Tonjes, go out there and, I don't know, catch the ball in the end zone and win us a game and all the rest of it. So I do think that from that standpoint, Shanahan's been awesome in scheming, as you say, a schemey season for sure. But also, the one thing that's made his job easy is he's had number 23 all year.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
So, like, I'm not saying that he's not scheming McCaffrey up in an elite way, but a lot of his schemes are, let's find a way to get 23 the ball.
No doubt.
Half the plays.
I like your point, though, about the staff and Saleh as well. Like, I'd argue as much as I think it's been a great year for Shanahan, the gap between what the world thought of Shanahan at the beginning of the year to now is smaller than the gap of what the world thought about Robert Saleh at the beginning of the year to now. He has, unfortunately for the Niners, he has repositioned himself to be in the head coaching cycle. He's been that good. And that's also largely because of what's happened in other recent defensive coordinators since D'Amico Ryan's departure. It's been a disaster at that position, and he came back in and totally stabilized it, lost his two best players, and they're still hanging in there. It's incredible. You know what I mean? Like, if Kyle's the defensive or the offensive head coach and Robert is the defensive head coach, yeah, they've all been through adversity. Robert's been through more.
Right.
His players are season-ending injuries. Kyle's are just, you know, six-week tweak, and you'll be back.
Right. And also, I mean, you were able to go from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones, which is, I think, a smaller drop than going from Nick Bosa to Keon White or Cleveland Furl.
For sure. But also, I think that that small drop from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones is a credit to Kyle. That's a huge credit to Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also a credit to John Lynch because I think, and you go back to the offseason, and it was a day one signing in the offseason when the new year started, they went out and they signed a backup quarterback. And we did this yesterday. We ran through all the other backups who have started games, and they have a winning percentage of about 250 on every other team, yet the Niners prioritized a backup, not thinking that Brock would have turf toe, but just in case, let's have a good backup. And so they went out and they paid their backup. They gave him a two-year deal with guaranteed money, thinking just in case. And well, just in case happened, and you had a guy who can go out there and not only be serviceable, but good enough to win games.
Bob in the city is next. Hi, Bob. Thank you for the call. What's up?
Hey, guys. I really like the show. Did anybody mention Mike McDaniel?
We did not.
No, right?
We did not.
Right. Okay, good. No, I'm just No, I like Mike McDaniel. He's a good coach. But anyway, if I were going to do a straight trade, and it didn't matter what sport, I would trade him for Steve Kerr. For sure. He doesn't know football, obviously. Right?
You're saying, though, is that, like, Steve, in your mind, what? He's been more successful at his sport than Kyle has been at his? And, I mean, there's an obvious way to answer that with the hardware, but I think there's nuance that takes the conversation beyond that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I totally agree with that. I would love, Shanahan's too young, unlike Walsh and Seifert, but I would love to see Saleh take over. And I'd like to see him stick around a few more years instead of just, you know, being a head coach again. But, hey, how can you stop progress, right?
So, Bob, thanks. Appreciate that. I love Robert Saleh too, but I that's an interesting comment. Like, I don't want anyone to take over for Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan can be the coach for a long time, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and he will be. And until you get to a spot where he doesn't want to do it, or until they hit a patch where it's no longer working, he's going to be here.
All right, Nick Friedell is coming up in just a few. We're sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track. Don't forget, we are moving toward the 4 o'clock hour keyword that we will give out that you can then text in and get yourself qualified again for the Steph, Dre, and Jimmy Butler, the Town Brown jerseys. Okay. But we're going to get into some Warrior basketball. We've been teasing this a lot. Some of the things that Pat Spencer said today were just phenomenal. He was on with Steiny and Goo. We'll get Nick Friedell, our Warriors insider, Odyssey NBA insider, in on this conversation. Steve Kerr is coming up in about 45 minutes right here on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I mean, Mark, it's so good to hear y'all's voices. And Mr. Dibs, I mean, it's just been way too damn long. So it puts a smile on my face.
On 95.7 The Game.
This man is so next level. I mean, he's going to be on YouTube as well. You'll hear him, but if those of you are lucky enough to be on YouTube, you're going to see Nick Friedell, Cousin Nick, wearing a Masters hat.
Yep.
And that's because he's an absolute master this week.
Hello, like, friends.
Yeah. It's almost kind of like a week off, unless, of course, they are actually practicing, which you seem to be concerned about. So we're going to start getting some answers on that.
Right.
Like, what's actually happening this week for the Warriors?
Like, what are we doing?
All right, yeah, what are we?
I mean, is he just going to roll the balls out there?
Maybe so. First off, remember, coming up within the next 20 minutes, the 4 o'clock hour keyword, so that you can text in and try to win one of the jerseys, Curry, Butler, Draymond, the town, the Brown. But now out to the River Islands guest line and our buddy, Odyssey Sports NBA insider, Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Hello, Mr. Nick Friedell. Yeah, what are you doing this week? You golfing?
I spent the entire day doing my expenses, dry cleaning, all the human things that you miss when you're on the road for the better part of 2.5 months. So everybody likes to think, they're off. Well, yeah, you fly back after 4.5 hours and there's stuff to take care of after the end of the long trip. But it's good to be back in the Bay for a few days. And guys, as usual, there is always not just one or two things. There's like 15 things with this team all the time. So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's talk about the thing that's top of mind for everybody, and it's Pat Spencer. Is it time to give Steph Curry some DNPs?
Mr. Dibs, Pat Spencer running around the floor the other night in Philly and screaming, "I'm I'm that MF," was incredible. But the key, guys, and the thing that absolutely cracked me up and showed that Pat has the respect in that room is that the next couple days, literally, those guys are referring to Pat in the locker room as that MF. They're walking around and they're saying, "Hey, you know you're talking to that MF, right?" And yeah, everybody was smiling and feeling good, but they genuinely meant it, because for a dude that has the background that Pat does, and to come in and play at the level that he is, given the opportunity, I think it's why it resonates with so many people. And for his teammates to see him producing at the level that he is, it just shows that they respect the journey that he's been on. But everybody saw that clip. It went viral. It went all over the place. To see the respect he has from his peers is pretty special.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot going on here, right? And in fact, I want to play something for you and for everybody that Pat said to Stein and Gook, because he was on about 5 hours ago on the station. And that idea of when Steph Curry returns, which I think is expected Friday. We'll ask you about that in a second here, Nick. But when Steph Curry returns, what happens to your role? What's that conversation like with Steve Kerr? Here's what Pat said.
Yeah, he doesn't owe me a conversation. We haven't chatted about it yet. We got out of Chicago, and then have a couple deserved days off. We've been traveling our butts off this year, so we'll have practice tomorrow. So we may address it, may not. But ultimately, my whole career has been built off of just staying ready. So I'll be ready for whatever comes our way.
Okay. He doesn't owe me a conversation. What this makes me think of, like, go back to Draymond going, everybody has an agenda. However, that agenda needs to fit into the team concept. Sure, Pat has an agenda. He would like to be confirmed as an NBA player. So that's his agenda. But when you hear someone say on this Warrior roster, Steve Kerr doesn't owe me a conversation. Nick, how does that resonate, knowing all the other things that are also going on?
It's a huge reason why, Mark, Pat has the respect in the room. It's a huge reason why when you play that clip and people start to learn more about Pat Spencer, he's going to become so popular within the fan base. The NBA is full of egos. They're full of agendas. They're full of storylines. There's always something going on. Pat busted his ass to get to this point in his career. He's taken advantage of the opportunity that he's got in front of him. And that type of story goes deeper than just a basketball team. And of course, the lacrosse stuff, the way he got there, that's impressive on its own. But he's 29 years old. I mean, that's the other part to this. I think that's what's so refreshing in general is his whole thing is, I'm going to be ready to work and show up when my number's called. His number finally got called a lot more in the last week. We started to see it on that Florida trip in Miami. He played pretty well. He's taken advantage of what's been given He's not expecting anything other than when he goes out there to light everybody up. And an opportunity is right in front of him right now. Steph, I would think, comes back Friday. That's certainly the hope that the Warriors have. And what Steve Kerr has kind of discussed, it depends on how he looks in practice the next couple days. But Pat has earned his way into that rotation, and he's earned his way into minutes. And, Mark, to your point, that's why this story, especially with everything else going on this team, is resonating the way that it is.
So Pat stays in and Steph comes back theoretically on Friday. Then who goes out? Is it just as simple as Pods loses minutes and maybe Buddy as well? What do you see, Nick, from the rotation going forward?
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to, Dibs, is it's probably Pods is a little lesser and Buddy is a little lesser. I don't think either one of them are going to disappear, though. The guy that, as the shakedown of minutes probably goes, probably may find himself doing a little less in the moment is Will Richard, but they really like Will Richard. I mean, all of a sudden, guys, I remember talking last week. It was like, who's going to be the guy? Who is this person going to be that can get everything together? Pat not only produced on the floor, but I think his story and how he's gotten there and that clip right there about I'm going to be ready when the opportunity is called. Nobody owes me an explanation. That game the other night in Cleveland, I think really set a bridge for this team when they badly needed it. Because on top of the fact that he played pretty well in Philly, they came all the way back from 24, they lost at the buzzer. So they weren't feeling good. They're coming into Cleveland going, oh, man, the Cavs are pretty good. We still don't have Steph. We still don't have Draymond. They didn't even have Jimmy in that game. And then they won. And they won because they're getting contributions from all over the place. So rotationally, we'll see how it goes. But in the span of a week, Pat Spencer is playing well and has been a revelation. Buddy is starting to knock down shots. Melton, who we haven't discussed yet, has come back and looked pretty solid. And you figure he's going to look a lot better 2 or 3 months from now than he does in the moment. Pods, who so many fans are ready to write off, has come off the bench and played really well. So you have all these different layers, and we still haven't even touched on the name that I know we're going to get to, but it's Jonathan right there. Kuminga.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do it. We're talking with Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. What happens next with Jonathan Kuminga?
I think in the short term, Mark, everything's running so smoothly, nothing's going to happen. Steve Kerr has gone out of his way repeatedly after these last few games to say he just likes the way Gui Santos is playing. And you can't argue it. When you watch what's going on right now on the floor, what is the difference? The ball is moving all over the place. And that is a different story because you don't have Steph and you don't have Draymond. And we'll see how everything kind of changes in these next couple games as guys come back. But right now, nothing's going to change. And I know that there's so much focus, and the three of us have talked about it seemingly all season. It's January 15th. Where I would just caution everybody is, when has a trade ever just taken place on the day that it finally could take place? I think everybody needs to buckle up here because this is probably way closer to 2 more months of will he or won't he than, January 15th is going to come and we're going to wave the wand and everything's going to be done. I think Kuminga has to play better when he gets the opportunity, and it will come at some point. As Butler said, he's not going to play every single game the next couple months. There are going to be chances, and it is better for Jonathan Kuminga and it's better for the Warriors if everybody just continues to handle this as professionally as they can. And Mark, what I would throw in there is Kuminga talked the other night when we were standing there in Chicago, thought he handled the questions well. That's all you can do in these moments. I think the story's going to not disappear, but it's not going to have as much edge over the next couple weeks if things stay the same. Where it's going to ramp up again is on January 15th, and it's not going to go away until a move is made, or they may not make a move. Because as we're talking about the Kuminga thing, let's also remember this. If you're the Warriors, with the way the guards are playing, there was so much focus, Malik Monk and the Kings and blah, blah, blah. What do you need another guard for right now? things are clicking. Seth Curry, we haven't even mentioned him. Nope. I mean, he came in and started shooting pretty well. So there are a lot of different layers in play. But as far as the Kuminga thing goes right now, if he stays out of the rotation, and the rotation seems pretty full, especially getting Steph and Draymond back, then everybody just has to handle what's in front of them and hope there is some sort of resolution here going into the deadline.
Yeah, 37 days until JK Day, as we have dubbed it, which is January 15th. And I wonder, Nick, if you've heard from your various NBA sources about where his market value is. Is it going down? Is it still the same? I mean, have teams looked at him for 4.5 years and thought they know who he is regardless of how this has gone?
It's in the eye of the beholder, Mr. Dibbs. And what
beauty.
I would tell you is there's really two sides to this. There are the people within the league that believe Kuminga is a really, really good player. He hasn't gotten as much of an opportunity over the course of these four and a half years, and his best days are in front of him. There is a whole other side in the league that says, if Kuminga was so good, we would have already seen it by now. We would have seen more consistency, because we all agree the athleticism is there. There have been flashes of times where you go, I can see it. In the playoffs last year, I mean, we know all the talking points, but there are people in the league that are just like, oh, gosh, enough. I've had it on this whole narrative. And as far as that goes, I am just so tired of the day-to-day. But as you guys well know, even the fans that are sitting there going, I don't want to hear about this anymore. This is a gigantic story within the fan base. It is huge. It's backed up by people who listen, people who click on stories. They are intrigued by this. Does that carry over across the league? Not nearly on the same level, but there is an intrigue surrounding Kuminga. And from where I'm sitting, guys, I think especially within the fan base, it's not even so much about Kuminga anymore as it's this reality of Kuminga was supposed to be the guy who bridged or helped bridge between timeline A and timeline B and the two timeline thing. So he represents a future that just may not be there the same way. But when you watch him play, at least this year, when he played very well to start the season, he was a starter and he got minutes. When he did not play well, he was taken out of the starting lineup. He got hurt. He came back. He didn't get a lot of minutes because he wasn't playing well. And so here we are one more time. I think the likelihood is still that he gets moved. But I don't think it is just some slam dunk that they want to get him out of here so bad that they're going to take back whatever they can. So to sum all that up, I think it's just a waiting game, and we're going to have to see who out there in the league really believes that he can be what he and his whole side believes he can be in the future.
Nick, I got a couple of adjacent follow-ups on that. Number one, Jake Fisher today wrote something that sort of tied, and this is just, salaries match, we'll see, but it sort of tied the Kuminga situation with Golden State and the Milwaukee situation with Miles Turner. I heard you on our morning show just last week be like, no, Miles Turner, that's highly, highly unlikely. Do you still stand there? Is Miles Turner a potential target for the Warriors?
I mean, in theory, Mark, it makes plenty of sense. But again, like, this is where the fantasy of trades and the trade machine reality of what's actually out there are clashing. Because if I thought that the Warriors and Mike Dunleavy and that front office could go make some trade where they get a big man back and you go, oh, okay, this works. Well, sure. But from where I'm sitting, as I talk to people across the league, I just don't see that there is a ton of interest. There are teams that would say, sure, we'd like to have Kuminga, but guys, this is what you all talk about all day, every day, as it pertains to this topic. Who is out there, and what are they going to give back to make it happen? And this is where everybody needs to take a deep breath as we get into where the deadline's going to be, because again, I think it's far more likely that he eventually gets moved. But the Warriors are not going to sit there and just be like, hey, we've had it so much that we're just going to get rid of this whole ordeal and it's going to be over. Something has to make them want to make it happen. And I don't think just getting him off the roster is going to do it.
I'm curious about this, too. Maybe it's no big deal, but his agent is, you know, it's been a thing all summer. And then last week when Jonathan doesn't play in the fourth quarter, we get a, what are we doing out here on Twitter? Do the Warriors view his agent as a problem?
I think it's an irritant more than a problem, Mark. And it's been irritating and frustrating for plenty of people within the organization since going back to the summer. I remember talking to people after he did that interview with Steiny and Goo, and they're like, dude, this guy just went on the radio for an hour on the floor on the radio, and all you hear are all these balls bouncing all over the place. I understand what he's doing for his client. That is his job. But if the question is, has he frustrated people within? Absolutely. Everybody just kind of tired of the whole saga, but this is the issue. Jonathan Kuminga and his agent and those close to him, they believe that he can be a star in the league. Credit to him for having that belief. Up to this point in his career, we have not seen that. And the consistency isn't there. And that's why if you're looking at this objectively, I understand where the Warriors are coming from, because they're saying, hey, prove it. Show it. I mean, Kerr said it as much when he was talking about Buddy Hield the other night, and he had that quote from Ron Adams, it's a show-me league. If you believe you are so good, then it would be there night after night after night. That is the difference with really good players in the league and great ones, because good players can show you on occasion that they can drop 30 or they can make a difference in several different ways. Players that think they're great but haven't shown that are the ones that really have the belief, but they don't have the consistency to back up their game. And right now, at 23, fifth year in the league, I think Kuminga is one of those guys that just has not gone out and shown it. And you could say, well, he's not been in the right situation. Okay, but this is a situation that presents itself right now. And if you want to prove it in the league and make it, no matter what situation you're in, you can be a difference maker every single night. And that just hadn't been the case for him so far throughout most of this year.
Yeah, and can you be a difference maker even when your offensive game is not flourishing on that particular night? And I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes. And that kind of leads me to Buddy Hield. You mentioned him before. What do you think is the situation with Buddy right now? Is it just a prolonged shooting slump, or is this kind of the Buddy that we should come to expect?
Well, Mr. Dibbs, Buddy just hadn't played well throughout most of the year. I think in these last couple of games, he's had his moments where he's knocked down shots, but this is where you finally have all this depth on the roster, and in theory, you're getting all your veterans back. In the next couple of weeks, this should be just about as full as it has been. If Buddy Hield doesn't start making more shots, Buddy Hield's not going to be on the floor. and there's a chance, depending on whatever move they make, that not only may not be on the floor, he may not be here in the long term anyway. So Buddy has got his opportunity. I think he's well-liked in the room. He's gotten plenty of looks that are open. He's just got to knock them down. And if that doesn't happen, they're going to find somebody else to plug in for those minutes.
Nick, good luck with the laundry and getting the refrigerator restocked. Best of luck with it all. Keep us posted.
Guys, I can't wait to see what next week brings, because I thought for a second that when we talked last week, like, oh boy, it's going to start to come apart on this trip. Yep. And they go 2-1. They probably should be 3-0 because they could have won that Philly game. And I'll leave you with this. If you look at the schedule and you see them really getting healthy, there is no reason to believe that they can't get up and running really fast now.
Yeah.
This is their moment to go on a run and get all these wins, because they're not playing a lot of tough teams. They're at home for a great deal of the next 2 months. This is the time. So no matter what else is going on, I firmly believe, I know they've been up and down all year. I know they haven't played to the level of their competition a lot. I think the Warriors are going to get on a nice little stretch here where they're piling up wins, and then we all reconvene in a few weeks when the trade deadline hits and see what Mike Dunleavy and that staff do.
Love it. Love it. Let's see if it goes that way. Nick, always great. Thank you, sir.
You got it. See you guys.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. That is Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I know everybody, us included, we all get distracted by the Kuminga situation. The Pat Spencer story has certainly kind of taken over this week as well. I think what you were sort of touching on is probably the away from drama lead story that's actually going on with the Warriors right now. In theory, if they're about to get healthy, if Steph Curry's about to return on Friday, you've got a full-blown sort of game of minutes survivor
yep.
that's about to unfold with the Warriors, and it's got a lot of actors in it. From Buddy Hield, De'Anthony Melton, Seth Curry, Brandon Pajemski, Jonathan Kuminga. Boy, who am I forgetting? Guy Santos. Everybody is going to have to really compete for these minutes, because if they're fully healthy and they've got guys like Spencer and Guy who are working, like pushing their way into the rotation, they get too many players.
Yep.
Way too many players to play all of them.
And you only want to play 10, and Steve has always said that he's trying to get to that where you have a 10-man rotation. I do think that Seth Curry is out of the rotation until Buddy Hield continues to really struggle, and then you could pop him in the Buddy role. But beyond that, it's like Guy or Kuminga. It's Spencer. It's Pods. I think Melton's going to be in there. You have a certain amount of guys who are going to be mainstays, and honestly, the way Quentin Post has played as one of your only yeah. real bigs. But then you've got Al Horford. When he's healthy, how does he fit in versus Quentin Post? I think that you go too deep at almost every position, and it's going to be competitive.
All right, here we go. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, the Brown, the Town, Warrior jerseys. Here is the keyword for the 4 o'clock hour. The keyword is Jimmy. Text Jimmy to 20357. J-I-M-M-Y. Text Jimmy to 20357 for this hour's chance to qualify to win one of those three jerseys. We got one more keyword next hour, and then we've got all the hours of the three shows tomorrow. So 12 hours tomorrow, 12 more keywords, 12 more chances tomorrow for you to continue to qualify. For the details on all of this, go to 957thegame.com. And then as we announced earlier, also, each show tomorrow will have 1 half hour set aside where we will give away Pat Spencer jerseys. Mm. So we will give away a Pat Spencer jersey between 4:45 and 5:15, right around this time tomorrow. So if this is your normal commute, this is when you listen to our show, then you're right in the Pat Spencer hour coming up tomorrow, 4:45 to 5:15.
It's incredible. I mean, we go from three great jerseys to three jerseys plus three Pat Spencer?
More jerseys.
But Pat Spencer jerseys.
Pat Spencer jerseys.
And it's become now something that everybody is coveting.
Yeah. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Steve Kerr in 18 minutes right here on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And you never know when I'll be on the River Islands guest line. So make sure to keep it locked on 95.7 The Game.
Well, Steve Kerr's a liar.
But wait, hold on a minute. Yeah. Back that thing up.
No, he is. He's a liar.
Because he said, you never know when I might be on the River Islands guest line.
Yeah, we do. It's going to be in 12 minutes.
It might be in 13.
Well, I mean, close enough. We know it's going to be soon.
Bring that same energy to Kerr. You're a liar.
You bring it.
I will.
Oh, you wanted to practice. Now you won't practice.
What are you doing?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Why, Steve.
Why aren't you practicing today? I want you to ask him that question.
Well,
why aren't you wanted practice all year? Why not today?
Well, today is going to be an off day and stuff. And
not
coach.
Shanahan.
Sorry. That was the bit. Brandy? No, not practice.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, we're going to practice tomorrow and stuff. And, yeah, I just wonder, like, what he's going to do. Like, walk me through it, Steve.
No, you changed it. You changed it.
I've not changed it.
You changed it from why aren't you practicing to what do you do at practice?
I never said why aren't you practicing. No, I said you got all these days off. And you want to practice, so what are you doing?
You got all the days off. You wanted to practice. You wanted practice. Now you get practice.
And I'm curious what they're going to do at practice.
Well, today they did nothing.
Right.
They did not meet today.
Neither did the Niners.
At all. They never do on Tuesday.
Coming off a bye week and stuff. And, you know, Trent won't practice tomorrow. It's a vet day and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, Trent's not practicing tomorrow.
No. Neither is Steph, Christian. I would imagine.
Steph will do things. They need to evaluate.
Right.
They need to ramp up, don't they?
You would assume, but yeah. I don't know what the ramp up is, you know, coming off a quad contusion. I don't know what he's been able to do.
Why do you say it like a quad contusion? What is that?
In a Charlie horse.
All right.
Somebody bumped his thigh right. 2 weeks.
So cynical.
Not at all.
So cynical.
You're reading into it.
No.
Did he not have a quad contusion? What did he have, Mark?
He had a quad contusion. He didn't have a quad contusion.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
It really is.
Your tone suggests that he's a wimpy little boy.
You are reading into my tone the way you want to read into it.
No, your tone is very clear.
Brock Purdy had turf toe.
Exactly.
Whatever.
There you go. Now you're getting it.
Nick Bosa has a torn ACL. Pobrecito. Whatever.
Oh, gosh.
Juwan Jennings had 5 broken ribs. Whatever. What about the other 11? They're fine.
No, Juwan Jennings had a calf injury.
That's you. It was real.
Damn right it's me. I'll own that.
Thing was real.
I'll look Juwan right in his face as long as it's over Zoom, and I'll
there
say.
There you go. Well, we did the whole thing about calf or cash.
Dude, he was not that hurt. He might have been a wee little bit hurt.
See, now who's the cynical one?
No, but I'm not cynical. He's walking around during the preseason game eating popcorn. Like,
he didn't have a bad tooth.
No.
I mean, no. He didn't have a, you know,
no limp,
cavity.
No limp. I think that was pretty clear. That thing got stretched out. Because remember, calves are tricky, but they weren't when the regular season started.
Poof. Well, there's incentives.
It's all better now.
There's incentives to reach.
Exactly.
You know?
That was not a full-blown. I give that to Buddy Hield 2 fingers. Calf injury.
Okay. I mean...
2 fingers.
I don't know. I can't.
No,
I can't speak to it.
We don't know anything. We're just talking about our perspectives.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my best guess.
Cynical, Mark Willard.
Very.
Super cynical.
Very. I've had it with all these spoiled athletes.
I mean, is Steph going to even play 50 games this year?
I don't know. He might get hurt again.
He might.
He's 37 years old.
Yep.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I tell you what, like, of all the things that have happened this Warriors season, and Steve Kerr will join us here in 7 minutes, I think that what happened over the weekend has to go down right alongside winning both games in San Antonio as sort of the most eyebrow-raising, surprising things that have happened this Warriors season. Like, I'm not going to get into, they saved their season or anything like that. But that road trip, and I remember you saying it, you would take 2-1.
Oh, yeah.
Right? With everything that was going on and Steph going to miss the entire trip, you'd be thrilled with 2-1. Somehow, they effectively did go 2-1 and were bummed about it because the one that they lost, they sort of blew. I find it hard to believe. Like, when you're down 24 or whatever it was in a game, then to say you blew it. But I get it. At the end of the game, all you need to do is inbound the ball.
Yep.
And they didn't do that, so they blow it. They play one of the games in Cleveland, not just shorthanded, but uber shorthanded. They sat all of their vets. And then they go out and win both of these games. They come home with a winning record. They get 4 days off. Schedule starts to lighten up. I think a lot of, like, really good things happened over the weekend. And as per usual, we're completely distracted by the little engine that could Pat Spencer and those three big letters that really get everyone going about Jonathan Kuminga. D-N-P.
Yeah. I mean, as we should, because...
Yeah, but it was a great weekend, is what I'm saying. Yeah. It was a great weekend.
You went 2-1 on the trip, and you're bummed because you should have beaten Philadelphia, but you didn't. And then you bounce back against a Cleveland team that's underperforming. That's a nice win. And then you beat Chicago, who was good early, and since then they haven't been very good, but you got to beat the teams that are on your schedule. It's a little bit like this whole Niner conversation we're having where, Schedule Sam says, you should be 9-4 because, you're playing all these weak teams. Well, Carolina's better. Chicago you have coming up, they're better. And Jacksonville is better. And so, yeah, Schedule Sam tells you you should win these games, but you still have to go out there and win these games. And much like the Niners without Brock Purdy, the Warriors were without Steph and without Draymond, and you didn't have Jimmy for a game. And so, yeah, it's not going to ever be easy against other paid professionals.
No. And obviously, I love when people, the schedule lightens up now. Well, Anthony Edwards is going to be here on Friday. This is not an easy game by any stretch.
You go to Portland, House of Horrors.
Yep. And then
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've got home and home with the Phoenix Suns, who I cannot figure out why they're winning more games than they're losing. Who, like, the most under-discussed thing in the West. What the hell is going on with that team? Why are they good? What's going on? They sent out Durant. They sent out Beal. You've got Booker. You acquired people from Houston. They don't play, and you're good.
Yeah.
I don't understand that team.
I was reading something today on The Athletic, and I'm going to bring it up just for reference for Steve Kerr, but it has a lot to do with being able to generate turnovers from your opponent and also limiting the amount of fouls that you commit and also offensive rebounding. And I think that Phoenix is really good in all three of those areas, and as a result, you're 14-10, and you're a team winning games that you otherwise probably wouldn't have in the past because you're out there and you're doing some of the little things. Like Houston and Portland, two of the best offensive rebounding teams in the association, and they're both having surprisingly better than you thought years. I mean, Portland 9-15, not as much, but Houston at 15-6, best offensive rebounding team maybe ever.
Phoenix was here on Tuesday, November 4th. They didn't even put up a fight. They didn't put up a fight against the Warriors. Dylan Brooks got a T from the bench.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Remember that night? And they made like surface level run in the second half, lost the game by 11. But I went to that game.
Yep.
There's nothing going on. I can't wait to see them next week because I'm trying to figure out who the hell are the Phoenix Suns. Because they're the party crasher. And it's the other spot. And I'd love to ask Steve about this because it's still a little early. I know that we as fans, we do this. We dive on the standings. We're like, the Warriors, the 8 seed. It's like they've played 25 games. I don't know why we're talking about seeds. The bigger thing for me, and maybe the Suns are kind of a party crasher, maybe the Spurs, we thought they'd be better. I don't know if we thought they'd be this much better, but the Western Conference, and this is great, great, great for the Warriors, the Western Conference is not as good as we thought it was going to be. That's, to me, the only takeaway right now. As the Warriors go through all of this stuff, you're trying to figure out your lineup, you got injuries, there's some controversies that are there that you got to figure out, working your way to the trade deadline, and everyone's all ticked off, and how are you 500 and all that. It's like, if you really want to get into that math already, I don't know why you would, but if you do, they're fine. They're totally fine. No, I don't know about you. I didn't have my eyes on a top 3 seed
No.
for the Warriors. I never thought that that was a possibility. With the schedule loosening up and the Clippers and Kings and Mavericks all stinking out loud, dude, what they want is right there. It's right there. There are, quick math, 57 games left? There's 57 games left.
A lot of games.
So, like, if that was the goal, a top six seed, then everything's fine, isn't it? Everything, like,
it's fine.
We're not in siren mode yet.
No.
At all.
God, no. And
well,
it sounds like it sometimes. Well, and I think that that little three-game road trip where you took two of three is a big boost toward what you're talking about because you didn't have a lot of your stars. And if you would have gone 0-3 on that trip, which you wouldn't really fault them for that, Pat Spencer to the rescue and Quentin Post with a great game and the rest of it. But if you would have gone 0-3 on that trip without Steph and, you know, Jimmy sidelined and Draymond as well, you might be a little bit more alarmed. But the others, the stay ready crew, as Pat Spencer called them, they came through big time.
Let's see. 650. Why can't Dibs say association right?
I say it with an homage to Tim Roy.
Yes.
And if you don't listen to the Warriors pregame, then you're missing out. Because we go around the association.
Exactly. No, I wanted to give you the chance because some people show up to the show later than others, and they may not know some of the inside jokes.
That's right.
You know?
And it's a nod to former coworker Chris Townsend, who would do his impersonation of Tim Roy. And, you know, the people who talk about the league, the NBA is not a league. It's the National Basketball
Association.
Association.
Right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. We're always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.